Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Leon Strauss, IFIP president, who shares his insights on the World IT Forum and the World Computer Congress. Leon, thank you for coming in today to share your deep experiences with the audience.
Hello, Stephen. It's my pleasure to do that, and I look forward to talking about a number of interesting activities that we are planning in the near future.
You know, it's interesting, in my global travels, and I've been doing a lot of traveling lately, talking to industry figures and so on, I notice that IFIP is getting a higher and higher profile. It's getting better known throughout the world, especially in industry and government. So from your perspective as the president who has been driving some of this, what do you see as the biggest opportunities and challenges for IFIP in 2012 and 2013?
Actually, it's exactly what you said. Our biggest opportunity in the next 1, 2, 3 years is showing to stakeholders what IFIP is and what we can do. To admit, we have been focused on our technical activities for quite a long time, looking at the quality of our conferences, looking at the quality of our research, and we have achieved quite a lot in terms of progress of that sort. Now we have opportunities of better showing this to the world, if I may call it like that, to the outside world. First of all, to provide others the knowledge of our work, benefit from it. Second, for ourselves to create bigger opportunities to cooperate with other societies, with other professionals, with different types of stakeholders. And I think there's a big opportunity for IFIP in the very near future.
Now, you mentioned cooperating with other stakeholders that are out there in some way. Do you see some ability to partner in some formal way with other groups or other major associations?
We are definitely investigating new possibilities for formal partnerships. This is, of course, not an easy task, given the variety of our member societies, the differences in background and culture, and the different positions in several countries. Nevertheless, we are working on our membership, on our cooperation models, and we definitely are increasing the formal ways of undertaking joint events, undertaking joint activities, addressing major issues that affect our profession.
So what are some recent wins for IFIP?
One of the interesting wins is the interest from younger IT professionals. We've been struggling for a decade or more to get younger IT professionals interested in the work of IFIP, and perhaps even interested, if I listen to my member societies, interested in the work of a computer society in general. Recently, in the last year, we met a group of very enthusiastic young professionals who wanted to join IFIP and take care of the interests of the younger generation, discuss among themselves the challenges, the specific issues that are of concern to the younger generation who has to find an interesting and qualified job. That's a recent win. We are working very hard on that, and I'm very hopeful that this will increase membership of our member societies base. That's one great win. The other one I would like to mention is an increased cooperation and visibility in United Nations bodies like UNESCO and ITU, two of our largest UN bodies that we cooperate with. They have shown greater interest in what we do, and we benefit from that by having speakers from those bodies, having joint projects on the planning. We are participating in the World Summit for Information Society meetings. So this is quite an interesting gain in the last couple of months and then maybe a year and a half or so.
Now, by the time this interview is released, the WIT4 probably will be passed for this year, but can you, anyways, describe some of the goals for 2012 WIT4?
The general goals of WIT4 is to share experiences, to discuss the ways of good ways to implement and use ICT in developing countries, in application areas. So instead of focusing on latest top-of-the-bill technology, we focus on how to apply technology, how to use technology in application areas like agriculture, like health, like education, and quite a few more. The unique element of WIT4 is, and this will be again demonstrated by the next WIT4 in April in India, is that we managed to get an excellent mixture of high-level policymakers, think about ministers, vice ministers, excellent academics who really do a lot of research work, and good projects supported also by the industry. So the perfect mixture of policymakers, research, and industry, and this is done in an open way. We also use projects that were not so successful. The idea is learn from each other, see what the effect of practical implementations is on the thinking of, in policy direction. For 2012, we have deliberately limited the number of themes to make it even more effective. We are focusing on agriculture, education, health, and e-governance. So we are really looking forward to that.
So the next series of questions, we're going to focus on the World Computer Congress 2012. What is the vision, mission, and goals of the World Computer Congress 2012?
The World Computer Congress is a bit different from the World IT Forum, of course. The WCC, and specifically this year, will focus on the theme of professional. One of the strategic goals of IFIT is to promote, in whatever way we can, the professionalism of the ICT persons. The link we are putting in this year's World Computer Congress is the link between innovation, risks, and professionalism. In other words, what is needed, what kind of professionals are needed, what skills should a professional have to, on the one hand, keep innovating, be very innovative in your thinking and creating new products, new systems, and on the other hand, to be aware of the risk of the impact on society and to take that into consideration when developing your products and when building them. So the main theme is innovation, risk, and professional.
So as you indicated, the major themes you just stated the major themes. Who will be attending and why?
We aim at addressing those policymakers that have to work on, let's say, the vision for a country. How innovative does a country want to be? That's one set of participants. The other one is the decision makers in academia, people who have to decide on the future educational program, what is needed in the educational arena to make sure that we get those professional ICTers that we want. And the third one is industry, who is employing these professionals and also has to contribute to the development of them and to the innovation. And industry, the kind of people in industry is similar to, let's say, the policymakers, the government participants, and also the academia. Again, is decision makers on human resource strategy. What kind of ICT people do I need as an ICT provider? What kind of ICT requirements should I ask from my provider if I'm a buyer? So it's a high-level mixture, but supplemented by the professionals themselves. They have to attend to learn what it is they can contribute.
Who are examples of some of the speakers, and what value will they bring to the attendees?
Well, I'm very pleased to be able to tell you that we have already 30 confirmed speakers, 20 awaiting, and 20 or so to be invited very soon. Just a random example of some of the names and background. We've got Mr. Thilo Weichert, who's a data protection commissioner in Germany. We've got Minister Onkili, who is Minister of Science, Technology and Innovation in Malaysia. We've got Professor Yao from the Chinese Academy of Science. We've got Mr. Jeroen Tas, who's the Chief Information Officer of Philips Electronics in the Netherlands. We've got Peter Denning from the Naval Postgraduate School in the U.S. We've got Justice Michael Kirby from Australia, and many more. The backgrounds of our speakers is a big variety. It's from academia, it's from industry. They bring specific views and experiences in those three areas that I mentioned. If I may take one example, Peter Denning is one of the co-authors of a recent book called The Innovator's Way. So he will address the issue of what does it take to be innovative. The Data Protection Commissioner will address issues of modern technology and the effect it has on society. If we look at the Facebook and Twitter possibilities of liking and linking everything together, what are the privacy aspects? What are the consequences of recent development? So they will address it from their perspective. The Minister of Malaysia will talk about plans, or maybe they are even more than plans, of legislating requirements from ICT professionals. You need to be a qualified professional before you are allowed to do certain jobs. So there's quite a variety of angles that will be addressed.
Now, we've already asked this question somewhat before, but I just want to see if you have any additional information to discuss, and that is, why should specifically government, academic, industry leaders, and IT professionals participate in the World Computer Congress?
Because it's my firm belief, and also my experience, that if you have an event with only one of those groups of stakeholders, and maybe some people will not be agreeing with me, but it's limited vision, because all these three kinds of stakeholders, they have their own goals, they have their own backgrounds, their own constraints. Talking to each other and seeing where, for instance, a policy that may sound wonderful but meets practical difficulties, practical constraints. So you have to look at different angles to make sure that the policy you have developed will work. Otherwise, you spend a lot of money with no or not enough outcome.
So, Leon, what you're saying is that IFIP is presenting really a unique forum by bringing together all the different parties into one conversation that just doesn't occur at other types of events.
Well, that is our strong belief, that we are doing just that. And in addition, what we are doing for this edition of the World Computer Congress is, we will not limit it to those 3 days of being together and listening to people, discussing in panels, etc. We are starting a discussion a few months before the event takes place. We will raise some issues, open up the floor for everyone to participate, bring in their points of view, so we can have a concerted efforts at the conference to already have some ideas to enhance our goals. And after the event, the conclusion of the event should be whether you call it a roadmap or list of actions, a number of activities that we need to do as different groups of stakeholders, and a number of things we need to do together to achieve what we have discussed, to achieve further progress.
I see. So do you see sort of a global declaration with a series of statements coming out of this event?
Well, I have to be careful in how I phrase this. I wouldn't say it's a global declaration, because a declaration is usually an agreed statement saying we feel this or we feel that. We think this should be done, we think that should be done. What I envisage is a more concrete list of things. We have discussed this, and we are going to do that together on a number of areas. So actually a roadmap. I prefer to call it a roadmap.
Now, Leon, it sounds like a great opportunity and developing this roadmap, and also bringing together government, academic, industry, and IT professionals all into one event where they can collaborate, share, gain insights, and so on. Okay, beyond the work side, how about the recreation side? Where's the fun?
Where's the fun? Well, it's always fun to have strong discussions with people you disagree with. I think that's the fun part. But naturally, I have to promote, and I'm happy to do that, because it's the place where I work and the place where we will have the event in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. I think most people in the world know Amsterdam. It's a beautiful place where there's a lot of opportunities to also enjoy each other's company outside a discussion room. So in that respect, we will definitely provide not only a rich content and a full program of good speakers and good discussion opportunities, but also very good opportunities to meet in a social environment, which is the perfect environment for starting or building new and existing relationships.
I know that when I talk to overseas and international leaders, thought leaders, and IT professionals, they think, wow, Amsterdam, what a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're down to our last couple of questions, and this one is about the value of professional associations for computer professionals. Like, why should computer professionals get involved with the members of IFIP?
I think in every country, there should be a professional computer society, a society for ICT professionals. That's one. Second, I think that every ICT professional, whether you're working in industry, whether you're a researcher or otherwise, you should become a member of that, because sharing your ideas, sharing your concerns with colleagues in your own country, but also colleagues on an international level, is very valuable. It's necessary to precisely solve the concerns, to solve the problems, to address issues that will help enhancing the profession. If you take, for example, the area of education and of skills, etc., there are many initiatives around the world that try to enhance skills of professionals, that try to look at what educational level is necessary, what's the minimum, etc. That's not a joint effort yet, regrettably, because if you do it together, you will not confuse the customer, not confuse industry in terms of, okay, if I want to employ or hire a professional from country X or from environment A, what is the difference between country Y and environment B? So that's where I think ICT professionals should be aware of the benefits of joint undertakings and addressing this kind of issue together. Besides, of course, simply exchanging information, learning from each other, which nowadays can be done in many electronic ways as well. Many people say that's enough. I don't believe that. Meeting people face-to-face is quite different from chatting via email or Twitter or whatever.
Leon, I look around and I see the accounting profession, the medical profession, the legal profession, and in fact, with accounting, there's an international federation itself to bring together all the accounting bodies in the different countries. And it's all about managing risk, quality assurance of the professionals who are working in their particular field, about protecting the public, protecting their clients, and so on. Now, we have computing, and computing is still a relatively young field. So what are your thoughts on computing to be a recognized profession with this sort of risk management side, quality assurance, protecting the public and client well-being and good, and with demonstrated professional development, adherence to a code of ethics, and recognized non-license-based credentials. What are your thoughts on that?
I would definitely like to see the computing profession move towards a situation comparable to the medical profession, comparable to the accounting profession. That's definitely beneficial for the profession itself, for the image of the profession, for the acknowledgement of the level that you have to provide. I think most of us know, if not all, that this is a long way to go. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't start going that way. And I believe, and IFIB is definitely contributing to that goal, that we should move slowly, maybe, because of all the, like you said, we are still a young profession, so there's still a lot of discussion on what is the best way, what way should we go. But let's continue the discussion. Let's talk together. Let's, again, going back to your previous question, let's do it within the concept of association to make it easier. And we should move towards a more structured model for the profession. Definitely.
Now, Leon, we are basically finished this interview, but I thought I'd let you close with just, again, a quick summary of the World Computing Congress, the dates specifically involved, the three major themes of the World Computing Congress, and where they can get more information.
The dates are 24 to 26 September 2012. Location is the beautiful city of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. The theme is innovation, risk, and ICT professionalism. And more information on the program and on structure and on how to contribute can be found on www.wcc-2012.org. And I would like to finish with saying that this is of interest to all decision makers, because in the recent weeks and months, I've seen quite a few reports, even 2 weeks ago in my own country, that are indicating that we will face a shortage of skilled ICT people. I've got in front of me a report that says where the ICT Industry Association estimates a shortage in the Netherlands alone between 5,000 and 13,000 skilled people in the next 2 or 3 years. So we definitely have to address this, not only by trying to supply the ICT professionals, but also by being aware of the risk that because of the shortage, you will be satisfied with less skilled people, which includes more risk in what we get. And that's what we are going to address definitely at the World Computer Congress.
And I guess considering that the whole world and global economic system is somewhat linked together, growing GDP is really factored on having a really well skilled for a workforce who can manage and support ICT.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Leon, I know your time is very tight and you have a really, really full schedule. So thank you for coming in today. And we will continue to follow your many significant global and historical contributions to this planet and helping to move it forward, and as president of IFIB. So thank you again for sharing your deep insights with our audience.
Stephen, it was my pleasure to talk to your audience, and I look forward to meeting many of them in any of our activities or talking to them on the phone or via email or whatsoever.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Leon Strauss, President of the International Federation for Information Processing, or IFIP.